Well, welcome to Glen Eyrie. I trust that before the evening is over, you'll enjoy your visit and come to learn a little bit about the Navigators as well as the castle and this tremendous provision that we believe God has used General Palmer to prepare for us. I want to share a little bit tonight with you about my personal life. And the way I want to start talking about this is to use a statement that I had heard many, many, many years ago. And that statement is, whenever the grace of God touches a life, there is a story to tell. And I really believe that. I was born and raised in New Orleans, Louisiana. You know where that is? That's Cajun country. I grew up in a family of seven children. I have four brothers and two sisters. We were a nominal middle-class family. My dad worked 53 years for the same company. He started working when he was 17 years old and retired from that. I remember when I was a young boy, probably about 8 years old, we had some friends that lived up the street. They had taken an interest in my dad, my mother, and us as a family, and one day they walked down to the house and handed us a Bible. And the Bible was a very mysterious book to me. I remember when they handed that to us sometime later on, I was able to crack the Bible open and look at it. And I ran across some of those strange names and all that strange writing. But somehow I never realized the impact that the Bible would make on my own life. Later on, I must have been about 10 years old. And it was summertime. And some people from a very tiny Presbyterian church came visiting in the neighborhood and wondered if my oldest sister Marguerite and my brother Earl and I, we were the three oldest, if we could attend vacation Bible school in this little church. My mom thought this was a great idea, because you could get rid of the three of us for 2 weeks. And we went, and I don't remember missing a day. In fact, one of the things I significantly remember from that time was that I was given a little coping saw. You men know what a little coping saw is, and we used it to cut wood and make things. And that probably is what started me off in cabinet making and carpentry, because I really got involved in it through the years. After this was over, the pastor of the church came by and visited and wondered if the three of us could get into some classes, some special religious training classes in the church. And Mom and Dad thought, well, that would be good. It won't hurt them. The kids do need some religious training, so we went. For the next 5 years after this, I never darkened the door of a church anywhere. In fact, no one else in our family did. And that's not unusual, because there are a lot of people just like that. But I remember my high school days. In my high school days, freshman year was okay. But my sophomore year was extremely difficult for me. Somehow, something, I just couldn't put my finger on it. Something was happening internally in my life, and it was a struggle for me to go to school. It was a very rough time. I do remember that I missed about 45 days of school in my sophomore year. People today would probably say, he's trying to find himself. You probably heard that kind of statement. And I remember, even though I was just a kid, I heard it. But something was missing in my life. I didn't know what it was. There definitely was a void in my heart, and I knew that. I was looking for meaning and purpose in life, but I didn't know where to find it. The end of the sophomore year, somehow I was drawn to a number of high schoolers that I had become friends with. They seemed to have very attractive lives. There was something about them that was very definitely different. I was attracted to their lifestyle. I soon discovered what the difference was. They were Christians. And they knew that they had eternal life. I didn't believe, of course, that anybody could know that. And I remember distinctly arguing with them about that fact. But yet, I couldn't deny that they had a quality of life that highly attracted me to them. Well, you know, the school year ended, and I was out for the summer. Junior year begins, and sure enough, I'm back with my same friends. And the situation, I was very much attracted to them. I started, during that time, dating a young girl in the group, and she invited me to go to church with her. I thought, of course, this was great because it gave me another date with her. But little did I realize what was really going on in my heart. I remember my church experience, the first one I went to, I was, of course, very miserable. Probably it was because I was lacking in understanding what was going on. But I do remember very distinctly that whatever the pastor preached about that morning, that somehow it caused me to begin to seriously think. Well, the next week rolled around, and each week as I continued to go back with her to this church, I began to understand more and more. One of the major things that happened is I understood that God loved me. He really did love me, and that He was willing to provide a relationship that I needed with Him. This challenged me tremendously. I'd like to tell you during this time what I really understood. Because as I was talking to the pastor of a church, this occurred back when I was in high school, I understood that I was a sinner. The pastor shared with me some scripture. And the scripture says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And I couldn't deny it. All I had to do was look at my own life and realize that's true of me. No matter how good I was living as a teenager, and I didn't get involved with any real rough things or problems as we often know what's going on today. But I knew what he showed me was true in my own life. I also understood as he spoke to me during that period of time that someday this life was going to end and that I would have to stand before God and give an account for my life. And I knew that if that was true, that I was going to come up short. The pastor also showed me that Jesus Christ died for me, that he offered the gift of eternal life and salvation, the forgiveness of sins for me. He offered me that gift, and he shared with me scripture that said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." That sure made sense to me because I knew as a teenager that Francis Cosgrove could not be his own savior. Lastly, the pastor of that church emphasized to me that although I understood all the facts, I needed to make a decision about the facts. And I remember on the morning of December the 19th, 1949, I asked Jesus Christ to enter my life, to forgive me of my sins, and to give me the gift of eternal life. And I'm here standing before you tonight to tell you truthfully that Jesus Christ as a gentleman has kept his agreement. What a wonderful thing. There was a sense of relief. My sins were forgiven. I knew that. Not only that, but I also knew that what my high school friends were talking to me about, it was now mine. I knew that I had that gift of eternal life. There was new purpose, a new direction came. I remember the struggles that I had in sophomore year trying to maintain my grades, and suddenly they went just skyrocketed back up into A's and B's. What an experience it was to graduate with about a 3.2 average in high school. The void that I spoke about earlier, it was filled, and it's been filled ever since. Well, what's happened since then? Well, the immediate change that took place, as the Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, everything has become new." I was a new person. And immediately I became very concerned for my brothers, my sisters, my mother, my father. I wanted them to know what I knew. I became very active in the church. We had a youth group of only 6 people. That's a small one. But I look back about 4 years ago, I was in a mission conference in a church in St. Petersburg, Florida. And a gal came up to me and says, "I know you from somewhere." And we looked at each other and I said, I know you too. And we began to talk. And suddenly I said, I know where it is. That little Sunday school chair, class back in that church when we were teenagers in high school. She had spent the last 30-something years on the mission field. Lydia Hoff and I were two of the six people in that little tiny Sunday school class. Well, in 1951, one morning, I went out to the mailbox. And some of you older men know what that's like. I reached in and pulled out an envelope. And it was addressed to me. And it said, greetings. The President of the United States wants you in the United States Army. Well, because I didn't want to be in the Army, I was very concerned about it. The next day, I hightailed it down to the United States Navy. And I joined the Navy. I got away from fording rivers and living in a tank and get shot at. That was during the Korean War. Well, I entered the Navy and suddenly I began to live with men, a whole bunch of them. They were sleeping in bunks below me. They were sleeping in bunks all inside of me and over here and all. And my experience was a new one. And I remember in those days, because of what God has done in my own life, I soon became very, very concerned for the men around me. I wanted to share with them the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I cherished my 4 years in the Navy. It was a rich privilege for me to be there. It was a growing experience. And later on in 1951, after completing some special schooling in the Navy, I found myself way over in the Philippine Islands. I was, as you men will probably know, I was in the Seabees. You ever heard of the Seabees? They were mobile construction battalion. They were the guys that would build airstrips, and they would build docks, and they would build roads and bridges and all that kind of stuff. And I was in the Seabees. And at that time, spiritually, I was very, very hungry. And in the divine providence of God, in my Navy days, 19 years old, God led me to a friendship with a young sailor my age, Randy Barnett. I still remember the guy's name. And he introduced me to the Navigators. You see, the Navigator ministry began as a military ministry. It began through the life and ministry of this man whose picture is right over the top there, Mr. Dawson Trotman. He was the founder of this organization. And he had ministered for years, since 1933, with military. And here I was, young sailor, and this other sailor introduced me to the Navigators. He introduced me to some tools that would help me grow in my spiritual life. I was very hungry. And those tools were Bible study and scripture memory. And I remember the first evening I met him, he handed me a little memory pack. And he said, Francis, I believe you're a Christian. He said, how do you know that you are a Christian? And I have to be very honest with you tonight. I could not answer him. I knew back in 49, I had asked Christ to enter my life. But when he said, how do you know that you're a Christian? I couldn't answer him. And I'm here tonight because that dear guy was faithful to ask me the most important question he could ask me. Would you like to know? And I was ready. And so he handed me this little packet of scripture memory verses. And he said, pull the first card out, which I did. And he said, read it. So I read it. And as we read it, it soon became very clear to me that I knew that I had eternal life because God says so in the Bible. God will keep his agreements. He says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the authority to become the sons of God. And I had it. Well, that was a blessed experience, a growing experience. And I started scripture memory in about December of 1951. And I'm here to stand before you tonight and say I've never stopped it. I'm still at it. In 1954, I met Dawson Trotman, the gentleman whose picture is up there. And he invited me to come here to Glen Eyrie for training with the Navigators after I got out of the Navy. I came here in March of 1955, and as you heard earlier, I've been part of this staff ever since. It was a rich experience to get the training and the equipping to carry on a ministry to businessmen, to servicemen, to college students for the next several years. And in 1961, my wife, Norma, and I don't know where Norma, are you in this room? There she's way up there on top. She's waving her hand. We were married in 1960. And in 1961, we headed off to Jacksonville, Florida, to begin our first ministry assignment. It was a very rich experience working with military and businessmen in that city. And then in 1964, the Navigators invited us to go to Japan and work with the American military all over Japan. We came home from there in 1968 and went to San Antonio, Texas, again, another very large city with a tremendous amount of military, and we began our ministry in San Antonio. We only had a very short time, for a year, and the Navigators decided that we could be better used in Charleston, South Carolina. Charleston was a new experience for Norm and I because it gave us new opportunities. It gave us opportunities to minister to couples and then to minister to college students. In Charleston is the Citadel. You probably have heard of it. It is the old military college of South Carolina. They look like little tin soldiers when they march. They're beautiful colored uniforms. And these fellows, the school is practically identical to West Point. And our ministry was on that campus and with the Navy in the area and the Air Force and community people. And then in 1972, we were asked by the Navigators to consider an invitation from Dr. Jim Kennedy of the Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, to minister in that great church down there in Fort Lauderdale. And so in 72 to 79, my wife and I packed our bags and moved from Charleston down to Fort Lauderdale to begin ministering at that great Presbyterian church. I was one of 11 ministers on staff and involved in what we call follow-up work of new Christians and also the discipling of the new Christian. It was a very, very rich experience for me, and I remember many, many, many times preaching to 6,000 and 7,000 people on a Sunday morning in three services. This huge church, you can see it today on television at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning right here in Colorado Springs. This great church is having an impact all over the world. Then in 1979, I was invited to come back to headquarters, as you heard, and assume responsibilities as director of church relations for the Navigators. It was a very rich experience for me to work 6 or 6.5 years with Bob Potter. We worked very close together in the departments over there. We traveled a lot, and we enjoyed it. And I've enjoyed the ministry that God has given me in churches. I have a seminar on disciple making in the local church that I offer, and it keeps me quite busy. I enjoy traveling, I enjoy ministering, I enjoy speaking. And then in this last spring, the assignment was to come up here, as you've heard, and work with all the conferences that Glen Eyrie offers to the public. In closing, let me just say this, that my wife and I have thoroughly enjoyed the ministry. We've enjoyed the privilege we've been given to be on the staff of the Navigators. It's been a real privilege, it really has been. This is a highly respected organization who's having a worldwide impact. And you're going to hear some things about that tonight. We have experienced a lot of fruit. In all the places where we've been, we've enjoyed the ministry of confronting people with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and watching God work in their lives and change them. And I tell you, nothing is more thrilling than to look at our world today. And my wife and I know people that are scattered all over the world in various places that have been part of our ministries. And we expect to continue ministering in these areas as long as the Lord gives us the privilege and health to do it. It really is a privilege. You know, years ago, when that pastor of that little church in New Orleans, Louisiana, spoke to me, that was 37 years ago. It staggers me to think about how long it's been. But my pastor asked me at that time a lot of questions. But there were two of them which were very, very significant to me. They were so significant that because they caused me to seriously think about my own life. And as I said earlier, I did recognize the spiritual bankruptcy of my own life. And that morning, my life changed because I invited Jesus Christ to enter my life and become my Savior and Lord. And you know, those two questions meant so much to me that tonight I want to share them with you. And so we have several men here. They're going to come and we just want to pass these out. And I'm only going to give them to you for one reason. I trust you read them. And I trust you give serious thought to these two questions. And if there's any way I can help you. Or Mr. Ken Metzger, who is the man that's been responsible for opening this up. Fellas, come on forward and just get them out. We want you to have these. And our phone number's on there. If you want to talk to me about this, we'd appreciate you calling us. The number is there on the card. Let's just pass those out. That's all I want to share tonight. And again, I just want to conclude with telling you how much we appreciate the fact of sharing Glen Eyrie with you. It is a privilege to have you here. Thank you.